I'd like to begin with a little thought experiment. I'm going to give you a multiple choice question. And you tell me what answer seems the most reasonable to you. Now notice I said the most reasonable. Okay. There's a small town, and in this small town, there's only one main street. And this really small town has only three police officers. And they take turns. And of course, some of the income of this small town comes from tickets that they give to drivers. Police officer number one, he sits in his patrol car in one of the intersecting streets. And in the main drag, the speed limit is 35 miles per hour. If police officer number one catches you going even 1 mile over 35 miles per hour, you are going to get a ticket. Police officer number two. He sits there in the same place, but he's rather more lazy. And so he just doesn't want to stop everybody. And so you'd have to be going at least 10 to 15 to 20 miles an hour over the speed limit. And then he'll say, okay, okay, I'll get you. Police officer number three. He sits at the same place, but he's kind of in between one and two. He says, well, he gives you kind of a 5 mile an hour grace. And if you go over that, well, okay, a little more. He makes his decision based on giving you a little grace period, but trying to stick to the spirit of the law. Which of the police officers is most reasonable? Number one, number two, or number three? And of course, I don't expect you to answer, because I wouldn't want some of you to raise your hands if you're wrong. Okay? But it's really police officer number three. Why? What is the law? The law is 35 miles per hour, correct? Police officer number one, is he technically correct at giving you a ticket for 36 miles an hour? Is he reasonable? No. Why? Why is he not reasonable? You technically violated the law, and it's 36 miles an hour, and he should give you a ticket. But most of us would agree that that's unreasonable. Now, whether you know it or not, in the back of your head, you have a sense of why the law was written. In other words, it's a law that is meant to ensure safety if there are pedestrians or there are others, there's other traffic. Technically, at 36 miles an hour, it's not that much of a difference. And the people who made the law, they knew that they had to set something down. Okay, it had to be one line above the other. They could have put it at 40. They could have put it at anywhere. But they set it there. So technically, the police officer is correct, but he's being so exaggerated that he really isn't paying attention to the purpose of the law, and he's being excessively mean to people, trying to get money out of them. So his way of interpreting the law and applying it is really not the way it was intended by probably the majority of the people who made the law. Police officer number two is really doing the same thing, except that he's lazy. And he is really not taking proper care of the public, because he lets people race up and down, and he ignores even the spirit of the law, which is what is supposed to be safe. Now, why five? Police officer number three could have gone six or four above, but somewhere you know that the purpose of the law is being ignored or put in danger. The purpose of the law is not to raise money. The purpose of the law is not to let anybody run rampant, but to, until you go 20 miles over the speed limit. There's a sense of that the purpose of the law is being served best by police officer number three. Now, that thought experiment I want you to apply to the gospel and to the church. Do you remember when Jesus is walking with his disciples? And they're walking, I think it was on a cornfield or a field full of grain, wheat field or something like that. And the apostles are picking off some grain. Evidently it was the type of grain that you could just pop in your mouth and chew it. And it's on the Sabbath. They're not supposed to be doing that. Okay? Why? Well, you see, the Pharisees, who were really trying to be very obedient to the law, they reasoned this way. They thought, okay, the Sabbath is sacred to the Lord. The commandment is, thou shalt not do any work on that Sabbath. So they began by saying, but what exactly does work mean? Obviously, you can't go to the shop. Obviously, we know when you're really working and you're not supposed to be. But then they got to the point of they started making distinctions that were minute. For example, could you cook on the Sabbath? Technically, cooking is work. So, can't do it on the Sabbath. Obviously, you couldn't clean anything on the Sabbath. But then, what about walking? Isn't walking a certain distance making your body work? So how fast or what's the distance at where you're going to make the law that you can't walk a certain distance? And they started saying, well, we got to make the decision right here and right now. We got to make this decision about where. And they continued with all kinds of things that they would try and identify. What is work? What about something that was done by an animal that, well, wait a minute, a chicken laying an egg is laboring. So maybe it's an impure egg. Now, it got, by the way, it did get to that point at some time with certain Pharisees. But I want you to notice what's happening. In their desire to obey the law, they had turned a day that was supposed to be a day of rest into a burden. And why? Because it was a day in which there were so many opportunities to commit sin that every time you turned around, you were thinking, oh, did I do something wrong? Now, when the apostles are walking and they're picking off grain, they get stopped by one of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees say, why are your apostles doing what is not permitted on the Sabbath? Why are they doing that? And if you remember, there's another story that I very much enjoy, that there's a woman that has a withered hand, and Jesus fixes it on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees say, there are 6 other days in which you can fix no healing on the Sabbath. Okay. Now, what Jesus gets very exasperated with these people. Now, why? They are very religious. So the very, and when Jesus speaks harshly, he speaks harshly. And guess who he speaks harshly to? Religious people. People who are exaggerating religion. And instead of religion, of their faith being a gift from God, it has become a burden. And so when the disciples are picking grain and eating it, and the Jesus gets confronted, you're not supposed to be doing that, Jesus answers, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What was he saying? I would submit to you that what he is talking about there is he's arguing for what was the purpose of the law when the law was enacted. And the purpose that Jesus is giving to the law is the purpose of giving human beings a day off, a day of rest. What has happened? In trying to observe this as a religious observance, the Pharisees have turned it into a day of worry. Why? They're obeying the law, but they have forgotten the reason for the law. They have forgotten what sometimes we call the spirit of the law. And so Jesus gets very angry. He says to them, woe to you scribes and Pharisees. You build men's burdens and put them on their shoulders, and you don't even make an effort to help them to carry them. And you travel land and sea to make a convert. And when you're finished making a convert with them, they're twice as fit for hell as you are yourselves. There's just a little bit of anger there. Just a little. And so, what was the problem? The problem is that when you do what the Pharisees are doing, you take the very instrument that was meant as an instrument to make people better, and you turn it into an instrument that they feel they're worse off. So the more religious you are, the worse off you are. And so the anger of Jesus is, notice, he doesn't get angry at the obvious sinners, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, you know, the people who eat with unclean hands. He doesn't seem to get angry at those. He calls them to stop doing that. But he reserves the anger to people who are taking the faith that God gave the Jewish people, and instead of using it for the right reasons, they're turning it into a burden. Now, why am I talking like this? Because what is happening here in the gospel is exactly that. Jesus is talking to the scribes and Pharisees. They are, quote, the interpreters of the law. Okay? But what's happening is they are interpreting it so harshly that what happens is Jesus is comparing them to oxen. Who, if you could imagine the yoke of an oxen, it's that wood thing that goes over. If you have two oxen walking, there's a wooden thing that they carry on over their necks, and it's fastened so they can pull a cart. What he is saying is, instead of allowing people to experience the goodness of God and to have a balanced life, you have turned what my Father meant to be a gift and to be a rescue, and you have turned it into a burden. And that's why Jesus says, come to me. All of you who find life burdensome, take my yoke. Notice the yoke of the oxen. But evidently, the yoke of Jesus is easy, and my burden is light. And so what's he doing? He's reacting to policeman number one. Okay? He's not yet reacting to policeman number three, but he will. Remember when the woman caught in adultery? He says to her, after she walks away, go and sin no more. But notice, his harsh criticism is for police officer number one. And so, what's the whole point of this? It really is an appeal for us Catholics to use your reason. Jesus said that by their fruits you shall know them. The whole of the message of the gospel can be misinterpreted by both policeman number one and policeman number three. People who see policeman number two, they're going, see, look at that. He's letting them get away with murder. And so they say, because we don't want to let them get away with murder, policeman number one. And so what do? They become harsh. And they skip the intention of the law. And the intention of the law in the case of the police officers, but in the case of Jesus, the intention of the law is to help you become a more whole and good person. Now, you can be immature, and lots of immature, I hear it all the time, you know. I hear, like, for example, the typical one, the sex one. You know, well, Father, God thinks it's okay for us to have sex anytime with anybody, because as long as you love the person, you know, love the one you're with. If you don't have the one you love, love the one you're with. Or it could be anything. It can be, oh, I don't observe church rules or anything, because those are old rules and they don't mean anything, and we can do whatever we want. God understands. Okay? Or you have the other side of the church. You're going to go to hell because you haven't done this and you haven't done this and you haven't done that. And what's missing? What's missing is to look at any time you have a church rule or church law, look at the law and then ask yourself, the church's mission the disciples of Jesus' mission is to help you become whole. You know why I keep going to become whole? Because the word holy derives from the word whole. And so the whole commandment of Jesus is to help you return to the balance that God intended when he created us. The balance. And so when you encounter being Catholic, Catholic Christian, you should always look and ask in everything you encounter in the Catholic Church, what's the point? What are they trying to tell me? You know, let me give you an example. This whole thing about going to Mass on Sunday. And if you don't go to Mass on Sunday, a lot of us learn this, a lot of us older people learn this. If you don't go to Mass on Sunday, it's a mortal sin. And you can't go to communion. Is that true? Yes. And no. When is it true? And I'm just using this example as law. When is it true? Well, I'm sitting at home in my wonderful chair, having a great afternoon or great morning. It's time for Mass. And then you say, I know the church tells me it's extremely important that I go to church to be able to be fed by the Eucharist and to hear God's word. I know that the church tells me it's very important. So I know that. Number two, even though I know that, I am going to choose not to do it. Not for any good reason, but just for the heck of it. I'm just not going to do it. And I'm doing this even though I know it's considered a serious matter if you have no good reason. To heck with them. I'm sitting here and doing nothing, and I'm blowing off going to Mass. Did you just commit a serious sin? Yep. Why? Because in order to commit a serious sin, what is the church trying to tell you by that law? The church is trying to say to you is, look, it's the old thing of, tell me who you hang out with, and I'll tell you who you are. If you don't hang out, this is called hanging out, okay? If you don't hang out with a Christian community at least once a week, you're going to start losing your connection with the Christian community. And we don't want that to happen. And if you start doing that, that's dangerous and it's serious. So, it's a serious matter. The second is sufficient reflection. Yes, I know I'm supposed to go. I know, but I don't want to go. And so, I'm reflecting on it. And the third one is full consent of the will. I'm not going to do it, even though I know it's serious, and to heck with it. Now, is that a serious sin? Yep. But what if, and this happens to me all the time, I'm hearing confessions, and somebody says, Father, I haven't been going to communion because I haven't been able to get to Mass. I mean, I haven't been able to get to confession because 3 weeks ago, I was taking care of my son, and he was sick, and I couldn't leave him alone, so I didn't go to Mass. So therefore, I committed a mortal sin. I want to shoot him. I want to shoot. No, that's murder, so I wouldn't do it. No, it's. I know it's serious, and I'm thinking, and it's full consent of the will. But anyway, so I wouldn't do it. But think about that. When the church came up with that law, is that what they intended? No. Nobody intended that. You would have actually, if you would have left your child alone and come to Mass, you would have committed a serious sin. Why? Because taking care of the sick and leaving a child alone is dangerous. And it was never meant to be that way. Traveling, sometimes you can't make it. It's not. The church wasn't making you think that you have to. If you're a regular Mass goer and you're traveling, you're excused. And there's tons of rules like that. And the church says, and I hear people say, oh, being Catholic, there's so many rules. Well, the rules are there not to harass you. They're there to help you to say, this is important, this is not important. And you're supposed to interpret those rules with reason, within reason. And always reason as to what is good. Because all the church's laws are meant to help you to be good. That's all. And so today, that's why this is such an important gospel. Because there's a lot of times I see people for whom being a Catholic Christian is burdensome. It's super burdensome. And sometimes, and a lot of the times, I see them and I see the way they interpret their faith. And it's super harsh. And you know why they do it super harsh? Many of them, not all of them, but super harsh. Because I can't let myself get away with even the slightest little thing, because that's a slippery slope and I'll become a rapist or something like that. Okay, that's crazy. Now, can you get to the point that you let yourself go and you go, oh, God loves me, he forgives me, he understands, I don't have to worry about it. Yeah, you can. But going to either extreme, it was never meant to be so. So when Jesus was saying the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, what was he meaning? That when you're told don't work on the Sabbath, you're supposed to rest. So what does that mean? Like if you enjoy gardening, is that a sin if you garden? No. Does gardening relax you? I hate it, so it wouldn't relax me at all. Okay? But does it relax you? Okay. Okay. But what was the purpose of the law? And that's what people forget to ask. Okay? So, just remember this verse. If your religion is burdensome, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. Now notice, he doesn't say throw away the yoke. He said, my yoke is easy. So if your religion doesn't burden you at all, and you hardly think you're doing anything, maybe you're too lax. Okay? Because he didn't say there's no. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So either extreme, policeman number one or policeman number two, are wrong. And it takes a mature person. Now, can little kids or immature people take advantage of this? You bet. I see it all the time. Well, Father, well, you know, God understands, whatever. You know, but it was never meant for immature people. It was meant for people who knew how to interpret that what Jesus wants us to do is to love one another as we love ourselves and as God loves us. And everything is meant for your good. That's why when you tell me, oh, God, the Catholic Church has so many laws. You know what I feel like? I feel like somebody is saying, I don't go to the doctor. They have so many diseases. I don't want all those diseases. I prefer to live free. Well, the medicines are there to help. If you misuse them, you're going to screw it up. If you don't use them, you're going to screw it up. But if you use them right, then it's meant to make you better. It's meant to make you whole. It's meant to make you holy.